Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction.
Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 114 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, Putting the K in Magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode at Blog Talk Radio. And I would like to add that that ebook is not the only free content that I offer. I create tons of free content for those of you who don't feel ready for whatever reason to invest in one of my programs or one-on-one coaching. I just really enjoy creating content and showing up for you all that way, so I do that a lot. And for this these last 3 weeks of May, I have created a lot of free stuff around the money piece. I really wanted to talk about money. And so last week's show, this week's show, and next week's show here on Hippie Witch are all about money, the woo-woo piece, the woo-woo magic piece of creating money, the psycho-spiritual component to manifesting financial abundance into your life. That's what my blog content and videos are about during these weeks as well. So there's lots of good stuff, lots of free, valuable content to go digging around in there. Yesterday, for example, I did another book nerd post, and that one is on a book called Creating Money, which is by channeled entities, Oren and Deben, and I have a hard time saying that with a straight face, but really, it is a channeled book, and I have three books by that author, because that, they did a book called Opening to Channel, which I have mentioned many times here on the show. That was my introduction to channeling, and I really like their approach. I like the writing style, and I think it's actually, it's not super woo-woo. For being on the woo-woo scale, it's very down-to-earth and practical, a lot of the advice that they have. So I really resonate with their messages, and I really love that book. And if you just don't want to read the book, if you just want to go kind of get the cliff notes, I pulled out some really awesome quotes from that book and then put it into a blog post. So you can go check that out. But I also want to say that for anyone who wants to go deeper with all of this and really get into the super practical how-to of creating financial abundance, I am leading a program in June along with Ryan James Locke, who I had here on the show a few weeks back. You might remember that, or you can go back through the archives to check that out. Ryan is a professional publicist, and he teaches all kinds of businesses, big businesses, but also heart-centered entrepreneurs, how to get their message out into the world in a really big, impactful way. And we just kind of made friends behind the scenes. We both got a lot of good feedback from that show, and so we just got to talking and decided we liked each other and that we weren't done. We wanted to do something else. And we wanted to create something for those of you with heart-centered businesses, just because there's a lot of bullshit in that market right now, to put it quite frankly. There really is. I know, because I run in those circles, and I feel like I've heard it all. But we knew that we had something really different and special to offer there. So I think, you know, if you have been a part of that world for a while, you'll probably start to recognize that on one end of the spectrum with these courses that you can buy into, you know, you have these programs that cost thousands and thousands, like a shocking amount of money to sign up for. And then you get into them, and there's very little personal attention. You're kind of like a small fish in a big pond. And while some of those programs are excellent, getting into them financially for some people is a little out of reach. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you know, especially out of reach for people, I just want to add that I do a lot of coaching calls. I do something called BizWitch, where I do coaching calls for people that are just starting their own online businesses. And a lot of those people, you know, because like attracts like, they have these spiritual businesses. They do long-distance Reiki healing, or they create astrological birth charts, or they do tarot reading online. And a lot of them express frustration about wanting to be in these programs because the people selling them are so charismatic and flashy and cool looking, but they can't afford to sign up for them. So I feel ya. I understand that. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have this super woo-woo stuff that gets you all pumped up on the law of attraction, but then it just kind of leaves you hanging on the how-to piece. So, and keep in mind, I love me some Abraham Hicks. I just listen to it sometimes to put myself into a good mindset. But it is one thing to listen to an Abraham Hicks playlist on YouTube and get yourself all jacked up on the idea that you can create anything you choose by simply raising your vibration and maintaining your vibration. And then it's a whole other thing to take it to the streets. And for example, can you imagine going into a hospital operating room and informing a patient that even though you are not a board-certified surgeon, you are about to cut their chest open and start moving shit around in there because you have aligned your vibration with that of a heart surgeon? It's super ridiculous. It is. But people do this all the time in other professions and other fields, especially the arts, which I have seen a jillion times living in Hollywood and L.A. for the last couple of decades. You know, people think acting, writing, singing, making art of any kind, just because they like it. They think that they're destined to be a professional, and they just sort of like go by the seat of their pants and fly into town, and they're usually in for a very rude awakening. You see this a lot in the spiritual arts especially too, because there is no board certified anything. And people often think that they can just magically manifest a thriving coaching business by practicing positive affirmations and setting up vision boards. And that, to me, it's not only one of the tragedies of the New Age community, because in believing that, you are setting yourself up for a lot of heartbreak, but it's also the main reason why people in our, you know, in other communities don't take us seriously sometimes. Sometimes we don't take ourselves seriously. And again, that's why I love the work of people like Robert Ojado, who are teaching, you know, the shadow piece. And getting real with all of this and learning how to take this stuff to the streets. It's not that the woo-woo stuff isn't valuable. It's just sometimes it can lead certain people into spinning their wheels, kind of. So today I was going to talk about mirror work. And if you're in the New Age community, you might think of Louise Hay might come to mind when you hear mirror work. That is not the kind of mirror work I'm talking about today, but that is, it's when you look into the mirror and you practice positive affirmations. And people have really significant healing experiences by doing this. You might think of that old Stuart Smalley Saturday Night Live skit where Stuart Smalley was like I don't know what you would call him, like a self-help guru, and he taught people how to look into the mirror and say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. And that is powerful mirror work. It really is, but once you do that and once you achieve that, there's so much more you can do. But I will say it's been a long, long, long time since I first did that kind of mirror work, but I still remember how weird it was looking into my eyes for the first time and saying positive things about myself and really, really connecting, not just like looking at my face, but like looking into my eyes. That was a trip. And I highly recommend trying that out. But I'm today talking about something totally different. I'm talking about looking into the mirror of your money. And I will also mention before I really, really get into that, that there's another kind of mirror work that often comes up that is super related to what I'm talking about today. And that is, it's a form of shadow work, which is also the kind of mirror. They're both shadow works. I don't want to get too confusing here. There are different kinds of mirror work, and they are components of getting to the shadow. You know, the shadow is a tricky, elusive thing. It's just a metaphor for the repressed parts of yourself, the parts that you have pushed down. So we often have to play little tricks on ourselves to access that so we can do some rearranging and heal those parts of ourselves that are causing problems in our life. So another form of mirror work that's really popular and that I've talked about myself is looking at the projections, because sometimes it's easier to see, you know, we project our own junk onto other people because we can't see it in ourselves. So, you know, if you're surrounded by people who you think are super needy and you judge them as being super needy and that has a charge for you that you, like, get really irritated by needy people, if it has a charge for you, if it's not just a simple judgment that doesn't have a real emotional hold on you, if you don't feel anything, it's probably just a random judgment. If you feel a charge, you are needy and you can't see it. So you see it in other people. And in that way, other people are working as a mirror to show you parts of yourself that you're not willing to see. You're not willing to see that you are needy. So you project that onto other people, or you attract people into your life that are able to mirror that back at you. So, and that's one way of getting to the shadow. So you'll often hear mirror work, the term mirror work, used in that way. Similarly, what I'm talking about today is that you can look into one specific area of your life and create a similar effect. So instead of looking at how you project your junk onto other people, you can just look at one aspect of your life. And we're using money here today as an example, but it could be any aspect. Relationships, as I just stated in talking about our projections, are also really, really, really good for this. But you look into the mirror, so to speak, of that one aspect, the mirror of your money, to see how you are showing up in every area of your life. Two ideas that you will often hear me express here on the show and in my videos, which are really just two facets of the same idea, are one, how you do anything is how you do everything, and two, wherever you go, there you are. And that's really the point of looking at one specific area of your life, of looking at your money and seeing what's up there. Because when you get that piece, when you understand how you're showing up in your money, you will realize that you are showing up that way in every area of your life. Wherever you go, there you are. How you show up in your relationships is how you show up in your business, is how you show up when you're dealing with your financial situation. And you might think, no, that's not true. I'm a total rock star in this one area of my life, but a total chicken in this other area. Because a lot of people experience that. They experience like a polar kind of, I don't know, like a bravado maybe in one area of their life and a weakness in the other. But if you look very closely, both behaviors are coming from the same place. And I will give you an example. So if you are a person who is operating in the paradigm of hierarchy, someone is always above someone else. Someone is always better than, which means someone is always lesser than. you're always going to be weighing and measuring yourself to see where you fall on that scale. So you'll see this a lot in money, which is why I'm using this example. So around certain people, you might make a judgment on those people as you are better than them. You feel better than people that make XYZ amount of money, and so it brings out a certain bravado in you, a cockiness. Whereas when you're around another certain kind of person, you might judge yourself as being less than, and you might find yourself kind of falling into the role of a sycophant or apologizing for everything you do. And it can be in different areas. So maybe with money, maybe you feel less than other people. So maybe when you're around other people and money is kind of on the table, maybe you're at a house that's very, very fancy compared to your house, or you're around people that are wearing a lot of flashy designer clothes and bragging about their vacations that they just went on, that might bring up of this energy that has you behaving in a certain way that doesn't match up to the way you're acting at home when you go home in your own environment. And you maybe start overcompensating that with your mate, for example, by kind of acting like a bully, maybe. So it's kind of the same energy, but it presents itself in different ways depending on the circumstance you find yourself in. But it's still that idea of wherever you go, there you are. You're still operating on that better than, lesser than hierarchy. It's just a matter of where you judge yourself to be falling on the scale. Does that make sense? In a very simple way, if you are a person who always shifts blame, it's always someone else's fault. Why? I don't know. Let's just use the money piece. You know, it's always someone else's fault why you can't get to work on time. It's traffic. It's your kids. It's your husband. It's your crappy car. It's this, this, and that. You might look at that and say, where else in my life am I shifting blame? And it could be very interesting to see that, wow, I actually do that in a lot of different areas of my life. And in that way, the money piece is acting as a mirror. You might be a person, you know, a person who shifts blame is a person who has a hard time accepting responsibility for their own life, which has a lot to do with stepping into your power. A person who has stepped into their power has the ability to respond. Responsibility. They have the ability to respond. They have the ability to show up. They have faith in their self that way. So if you're telling a lot of stories around why everything is everybody else's fault, you haven't truly embraced your own value. You haven't truly stepped into the responsibility piece, and you don't own your own money. You don't own your own power. Excuse me. That was an interesting slip. Money is power, though. Money is powerful because this is where so many of us experience the most profound lessons and insights around our own sense of value. Our sense of self-esteem really reveals itself here, which is why I love to use money as a mirror. A lot of our issues are just hanging out around money, I think, because it's like our primary source of energy exchange in today's modern world. And so you'll just find a lot of different shadows there, you know. Let me think about another way to put this. You might think that you're a very confident person. You might think that you really feel your own worth. Somebody might say, you know, you're really insecure, and you might think, feel very triggered by that. I'm not insecure. What are you talking about? I'm totally secure in who I am. If you're answering that way, you're probably hanging over a shadow. But anyway, my point is your money could be saying something really quite different about you. And that's why it's interesting to look at your relationship with money. If you want to know if you're a truly confident person, if you want to know that you're really feeling your worth and your own value, look at your money. It'll tell you the truth. It won't lie to you. And that's why the kind of mirror work I'm talking about here today is really just another way of approaching the shadow. And Debbie Ford, as I've mentioned so many times, is the person who first introduced me to shadow work. Her book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, highly recommend that. But she has a quote about this that I think is interesting. She says, "Once befriended, our shadow becomes a divine map that, when properly read and followed, reconnects us to the life we were meant to live, the people we were meant to be, and the contributions we were meant to give." If you place the word shadow with the word money, which is me saying this, Debbie did not say this, but I'm just saying, just for shits and giggles, let's try this and read that quote again. "Once befriended, our money becomes a divine map that, when properly read and followed, reconnects us to the life we were meant to live, the people we were meant to be, and the contributions we were meant to give." And I don't mean that rich people are more spiritual or better. I hope that's not what you're hearing when you're hearing me say that. I'm just saying your money is a map. It's a divine map. Your relationship with money, not the actual physical dollars in your hand. It's your the energy of money, the way you experience the money, the way you express yourself with money, the lack of money in your life. That is a divine map. That is showing you who you are, if you're willing to look at it that way. And then Carl Jung, who really kicked off the whole shadow work phenomenon in psychology and New Age circles, said, "Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate." And this is really what people do. People who aren't willing to look at the shadow piece, they think they're a victim of fate, a victim of circumstance. And maybe to some degree you are, but a very, very large degree that is so underestimated by so many people is the shadow is just in there yanking your chain and running the show. And until you make friends with it, until you embrace it, until you give it a big old hug and see it for what it really is, it's going to keep doing that. It's going to run the show. And mirror work is another way to make the unconscious conscious. If you did the speed journaling exercise with me last week, I think going back and looking at your answers to that, if you haven't done that already, would be a really great way to start playing around with the shadow of money and looking at it kind of as a map and being like, okay, this is where I am at on the map. If you look at your answers, because the reason it was speed journaling, the reason I told you to not think and just write whatever came first to mind was because we were trying to access the subconscious with that exercise. And then now you can go back later and look at it in a more analytical way and kind of like map out where you are in the shadowscape of your own life. And you can think of exercises like this, and there are so many you can do, that's just one, as a kind of gateway to the shadow, which brings me back around to the never-ending story. Boom, 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 boom. I love that movie. And if you don't follow me on my blog or Facebook, you're probably like, what the hell is this woman talking about right now? I love the never-ending story. I love it. It is one of my favorite spiritual teachings. And in that movie, one of the characters has to pass through, like, three gates before getting to the Southern Oracle. He's on a quest. He's looking for answers, the big answers to life. And the second gate of these gates that he has to pass through, these mystical, magical gates, it's the magic mirror gate. And it's a mirror that doesn't show you your image. It shows you your true nature. And the only way to get through this gate is to go through your own and experience your own true nature. And most people can't pass through the gate. They see their true nature reflected back at them and they run away screaming because their true nature scares them so badly. But of course, our hero can feel his own worth and he can face his true nature and he passes through that gate to make it through the third one. Spoiler alert. Sorry, I should have said spoiler alert first. I think someone wrote to me recently, I'm running out of time, so I'll just say this really quick, asking about, you know, they were having a problem. They just had really bad luck with jobs, and they couldn't understand why they kept having bad luck with jobs, and people would treat them a certain way. People would always do such and such to this person, and I felt kind of, not rude, what is the word, overly blunt in answering, but she was a young woman, and I thought, well, I totally went through this in my own life, and if I was going to go back in time and do that Joanna a favor, how would I answer this question? So I really put myself in this girl's shoes and was like, okay, this is what I would have needed to hear to take it to the next level. So my answer was, the common denominator is you. If you're saying, people always do this to me, or I always have such bad luck with XYZ, always is a key word there. If you keep having the same situations pop up again and again and again, maybe with slight variations, but it creates a similar feeling, and it's a similar issue again and again and again, believe me when I say the common denominator is you, and that nothing is going to change until you change yourself from the inside. And then you will know that you have made that change. You will know that you have done that deep soul diving and that shadow work when you start attracting new experiences to yourself. And that is just coming from a place of tough love. It is not pleasant to hear, but I promise you it is the truth. It is the truth, people. The common denominator is you, and that is the mirror of your true nature. And money is a really awesome mirror for looking into that way. And then going back to the never-ending story, if you've read that book or you've seen that movie, what it really is a dream within a dream. It's all just a story. Even Bastian, who is reading the book within the book, his reality is really just a dream. As Edgar Allan Poe so famously said, all that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. Do you know what I'm saying? You may argue that learning the nuts and bolts of money in this reality, if that's true, if everything is just a dream, you may argue that learning the nuts and bolts of money is pointless because this reality is just an illusion. It's all just a dream within a dream. And I might agree with you to an extent, but I do believe that if you are a part of this collective dream for a reason, that is a reality that if you treat it as such, if you ground into what is and engage this reality in an interactive way, that you will get the most out of what it has to offer. You don't have to be so serious about it. In fact, knowing that it is a temporary experience and knowing that it is only one of many realities that you will experience, even in this lifetime, if you want to include the reality of your dream life, that allows you to get really playful with it and to learn this reality's rules and limits and then go beyond them. And I'd also like to add that the rules and limits of our governments and corporations, the rules that these entities have set up, the reality of those structures do not necessarily reflect the reality of what your soul is capable of in this lifetime and in this body that you have taken on. And I love the way that the spiritual community has pushed those boundaries beyond what we previously thought was the limit. I love the way we are egging each other on in this way to dream more, to dare to ask for more, to desire more, to create more. I think that that is a very good thing. So I'm out of time. I'm going to tell you, if you want to go deeper with all of this in the nuts and bolts way, if you want to like engage reality in a interactive way and get, you know, really into the how-to of how to make a living doing what you love and serving your community, visit bigheartbig.biz, and you can learn more about Big Heart Big Biz. 30 Days to Prosperity, Outrageous Prosperity. That's the program I created with Ryan. And before I go, just for the fun, I am going to leave you with a quote from Abraham Hicks, something to chew on before I get cut off. People talk about the reality of their life as if it's important, and we want you to understand it's only the temporary indicator. Do you go to the gas station? Your gas gauge is on empty. Do you go to the gas station and look at your gas gauge in horror? How did this happen? Why? Why did this happen to me? Do you lay your head on the steering wheel and just sob? Oh, look what's to come. I'm finished. I've lived all of this life, and look where I am. Or do you just fill up? It's a good thing to ponder. That message is brought to you by Abraham Hicks. Think about it. Fill yourself back up, people. And I will be back here talking about money again next week. Same place, same time. In the meantime, much love. Peace.